went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu. And I looked deeper and I spoke sweeter and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying.
Hey, thanks for joining us this morning. We're starting a new sermon series, and it's entitled Live Like You Were Dying. And as I was thinking about this, and life being so short and so brief, I just really liked that song. It's about 15 years old. Can you believe it? 15 years old. And you probably have all heard that before. As I was growing up, I'd hear this a lot. Don't wish your life away. I was a hyperactive child, believe it or not. And I couldn't wait for my birthday to come. Every one of them. It seems like when we're young, it takes forever for anything to come. And maybe it's because we're impatient or everything is so new. But at 4 or 5, I couldn't wait for my birthday and what I was going to get and for Christmas, all of those type of things. And over again, I would hear, don't wish your life away. Life's too fast already. But Sunday afternoons at Grandma and Grandpa's, there weren't any cartoons on. There was nobody to play with. It seemed like it lasts forever. But now, you sit down and it seems like you just got to get right back up. And the other thing I want to share with you this morning is our time on earth is limited. Can I get an amen? I know this is a revelation to you. Aren't you glad you got up this morning to hear that our time on earth is limited? We all have an expiration date. Now that I've depressed you, you're still smiling. And I'm kind of happy about that. But it seems really, it really, really seems like the only people that are looking forward to a birthday are 4 and 5 year olds, or maybe 13 and 14 year olds, maybe a 15 year old, because they're almost 16, and maybe they can date, maybe they get to drive a car, and then you turn, and the next big birthday is what? You become 21, and some of you remember where you were on your 21st birthday. I was at Johnson Bible College. I was studying for finals. My birthday is December 11th. Write it down if anybody cares. Turning 21, studying for a final, and eating a pizza. I'm thinking, wow, big deal, 21. And then what's the next one? Turn 30. And that was probably the most frustrating big birthday that I had in my life. Because I wasn't where I thought I would be, and my expectations weren't met. I'm thinking, boy, you are driving yourself crazy, because this is where God has you, and this is what God has you doing. So that was kind of an accepted thing. But then we push 40, because that's kind of middle-aged. And we want to push that 40 back, don't we? And then what happens? We reach 50. We reach 50. It's like, we push 40 and we push it back, but we reach 50. And then what happens? What's the next big birthday? I'm almost there. I know you can't believe it. But we make it to 60. We make it there. It's like we're surprised or something. But then because of 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, and 60s, we've got so much momentum that we hit 70. You don't seem too excited. And then it's kind of like a seasonal thing. We make it to Thanksgiving. We make it to Christmas. Maybe we'll make it to Easter. Amen? And then we go to 80. We hit 70, and then we help me. It's not a roll. I'm trying to. I can't read them. Maybe that's a sign. And at 80, it becomes daily. Make it to lunch. Make it to supper. I got up this morning. In fact, somebody was walking in. Todd Swearns and I were standing outside the door one morning, and somebody said, I said, how you doing? He said, I'm above ground. Todd looked at me and said, I never heard that before. Stick with me. You'll hear it a lot. And then it goes back down. In your 90s, this is what I hear. Some of you might be 96 and a half, 96 and three quarters, 97. It's sort of like an auction. Kind of goes all the way around. You know, life comes at us fast, doesn't it? Life's like a roller coaster, I think. One of the best images is when you start out, you get in that seat, and they pop that thing down, that bar down, and you get on that journey, and it kind of goes, kind of plateaus and goes really slow, and you get up, and you're going up that first hill, and you hear click, 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 click. And then somewhere you get that force, and you roll over that, and then you go, boom, and it's all over. And that's kind of how life goes, isn't it? It's like a roller coaster. You kind of slowly creep up, and all of a sudden, I don't know where it is at 30 or 40 or 50, you just go, boom. And then all of a sudden, you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, who is that guy? What happened? Where did it all go? And that's kind of crazy because life is like that, isn't it? It's kind of so fast. Life is fast. And I have a little commercial that I want you to see this morning, I think. Got my commercial?
From the man romantic. Who brought fantasy to life comes a hair product born into reality. Fabio. Beauty has a face, perfection a name. Fabio. And now, you can experience a shampoo worthy of only one man's name.
Life comes at you fast. Ready for retirement?
I love that. Yeah, they had that at the end. That just sets it off. In the book of James, chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, if you got your Bibles, turn there. James says this, and we're probably familiar with this passage. If you've been around Christendom, Christianity, it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. How do you live your life? How do you take in the moments? A lot of us think we have and act like we live with an infinite amount of days, don't we? We make plans. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And there's nothing wrong with planning. But we act like we have an infinite amount of days. And James says, and the Bible teaches us, to number our days, to realize that there's more to this life, and we really, really need to stop and think. So let me ask you this. What if we decided to use this reality that we don't have that much time, 30 days, to engage us more fully in our relationship with God and other people? What if we had only 30 days to live, and we knew, and we set our watches or our phones with a daily timer that said 30 days, 29, 28, and we counted down the hours because we knew we only had 30 days to live? Would anything change in your life? Would it even change you in a way? And for some of you, you would say no, because I live like that every day. Really? Do we live like we have an infinite number of days, or do we realize that they are limited and we need to take this a little more, what do I say, intentionally, more seriously? I want to kind of define this in a way, and some of you are saying, boy, this is going to be depressing, Chris. This is not going to be any fun. It's morbid. No, this sermon series isn't about death. It's about life. It's not about evangelism, trying to scare you into anything. It's not trying to convince you of anything other than that life is important and live it intentionally. Keep that idea in your mind, because a lot of times we just go willy-nilly through our days and we act as if there will be no end, and we all know that there's an expiration date. And in saying all of that, it's a different thing to live a life and go through the motions than it is to have life, isn't it? Do you ever feel like you're on that racetrack or at that wheel and just keep turning and turning and turning and it never stops? You never have time to reflect? Now, there's two ways that we can live. And the first way is this. We can try to generate life on our own. The next big party, the next big thing, the next big game, the next big event, and try to generate life in that way. What are we going to do fun this year? Where are we going to go? What are we going to see? Who are we going to be with? We're trying to generate life on our own. And we know people that's all they think about. What's the next big thrill? Or we can draw our life from the source of life. You might say, well, Chris, what do you mean by that? If you look at John chapter 15, Jesus tells us, and this is simple, verses 4 and 5 of John chapter 15, he says, these are Jesus' words, abide in me and I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. You see, when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, when we remain in him, when we abide in him, we have that life. We have that joy. We have that peace. So seriously, what would you do if you only had 30 days to live? What would you do? You know, I've always wanted to see the Panama Canal. Always wanted to eat a Kobe steak. Always would like to spend more time with my grandkids, wouldn't you? But I think that if I really only had 30 days to live, I think I would choose those key relationships, those significant persons. I think I would worship God differently if I knew I only had 30 days to live. Psalms 90:12 is going to kind of be our key theme verse for this series. And I want you to read this with me. So we're going to do this every week, so we'll have some practice. It's on the screen. It says, read with me. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. That's pretty good. Try it again. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And that's kind of my focus for you through this series, for this next 30 days, that your heart, that's your reality, would be more intentional, take life, those moments and opportunities more seriously, and live intentionally into this experience. Psalms 39:4 and 5 also says the same thing, but it in a different way. Oh, Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my ways a few hand's breadth, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. In light of all eternity, we are but a breath, aren't we? And realizing the brevity of life, that it is so short, is often necessary to obtain clarity for life. Realizing the brevity helps us to receive clarity and wisdom and intentionality. And that's so important, I think, for us as Christians, because we want to live like no other. And the question then becomes, what's keeping us from doing that? What's keeping us? What in your life is stopping you from living passionately, living intentionally, living with clarity and focus? 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2 says, Paul says, working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. He's saying, don't take this great gift that God has given you, this life he's given you, and don't make it empty. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He's talking about the time is now. It's not tomorrow. He's saying, don't squander your time. Now, maybe you remember this story. Lawn chair Larry Walters, 1982. Maybe you've heard this. The guy was, I just think he was out of the box. He had joined the Air Force, but his eyesight was too bad, so he couldn't be the pilot that he always wanted to be, and he'd wanted to do this for years and years. And he finally decided to do it. So he bought 45 8-foot in diameter helium weather balloons. He attached them, filled them up, had friends there, kind of a party, attached them to his lawn chair. Okay? Tied the lawn chair to the bumper of a Jeep. And Larry's intention was to fly about 30 feet and just kind of hit the Mojave Desert. He was in near Los Angeles, California. Have you heard this story before? You probably have. So then Larry takes his six-pack of Miller Lite. He did plan ahead. He had a parachute and a CB radio and a BB gun. He had counterbalances. And this was just a fold-up, webbed lawn chair. I mean, it wasn't anything spectacular. We all know them. They don't even sell them anymore. You can't even buy one of those. And so his friends released him, and instead of hovering at 30 feet, he went to 16 and 17,000 feet. He tried to shoot a couple of the balloons to lower his altitude, and he dropped his BB gun. He got into LAX airport airspace. He had radioed the police on his citizen band and let him know that he was going into that space. He drifted and slowly he descended over a period of, I think, 45 minutes, and he hit power lines. He lowered himself down from the power lines. Immediately he was arrested. There happened to be some news or journalist that caught up with him and was there as he was arrested. And they said, Larry, why did he do it? He said, you know, a guy just can't sit around. Gotta do something. He wasn't squandering his time, was he? Pretty scary. I'm not recommending that to any of you. Sometimes I think our favorite word is someday. Someday I will. Someday I'll go to school. Someday I'll take care of that relationship. Someday, someway, I'll start going to church. Someday, someway, I'll give my life to Christ. Someday, I will talk to that person that I've had a concern or an issue with, or I have been ignoring for years. Today is what Scripture teaches us that we have, not someday. And we need to do that now. So my question this morning is, what would it look like if you lived your life passionately? And this was day 30, and you had 29 more days to live. But we know that we aren't even guaranteed that much time, are we? We know that. And we've got to look and say, what is currently paralyzing you or holding you back from that life lived passionately? What's stopping you? Are you afraid? Are you anxious? Well, I don't think people would know me if I lived passionately like my life was going to end. But we know it's going to happen. What needs to happen for you to say, I'm living in faith here and now, that we're really living in faith, that we're relying on Jesus. And really, just take a moment and say, and ask yourself, what consumes most of your time and your thoughts during the day? What do you think about when you wake up, when you go to sleep, throughout the day? A lot of times it's an anxious thought, isn't it? A negative thought that haunts us. Finally, what are you clinging to that you need to let go of in order to move forward in living passionately? This morning, I just want to challenge you to live like you were dying. 30 days to live. How would you live? Will you please stand as I pray? Father, this morning we just praise you and thank you that we have a hope beyond this life. But Father, you've given us this time, this day, this place. Help us, Lord, to live intentionally, with clarity and focus, wisely, as we realize that our time is limited and we want to live it for you. I just pray, Father, that the business that has to be done, that needs to be done, ought to be done in our lives, will be done in such a way that we would be ready at any time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you come this morning?